Thank you, Gary. Well, good evening, everyone. I greet you in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And as you see, my sermon title is In the Moment. And so I think moments are, you know, there's something that happened, you know, you can't really put a time frame on it, but it's just a, you know, we say a moment in time. And how many of you have a moment in time that you remember? I'm sure most of you do, if you take a show of hands. And how many of you have a moment in time that changed your life? Sure that many of you do. Some of you probably have a long story that goes with it, and it may have been years, but probably somewhere in there, there was a moment when things changed, when you realized something, the light bulb went off. And so being in the moment is important because sometimes those moments are life-changing. And, you know, we have a moment every day. We have a moment every week, every year. We always have. These things are available to us. Being in the moment is one of the most important things that we can do. But it's not easy to be in the moment all the time. I mean, has anyone here ever been sitting somewhere at work or at church or at home or at school, and then their mind started to go someplace else? Sure we have. We've all done that, right? And if you look at the science of it, it's kind of a natural resting state for our brain or for our mind is to go to a, you know, place where, you know, we're not thinking about the moment. Matter of fact, Harvard did a study on it a few years ago. They surveyed a bunch of adults, and they came to the conclusion that for every hour we're awake, 47% of that time is not in the moment. Our minds are somewhere else. So half the time of every day, almost, our minds are not where we are. That's kind of interesting. You know, they called it stimulus-independent thoughts, which meant that there wasn't a stimulus that took us there. Our minds just kind of go to this sort of resting phase, and off we go. We start thinking about, you know, some other place that we're not, or something that we need to do that we're not doing, some place that we want to go, some place that we've been, or, you know, something someone said 6 years ago, something some dumb I said 10 years ago, and our minds just go to these places. And for half the time we spend in this stimulus-independent thoughts, where we're not where we are. And so by the end of this, half of your time here, according to statistics, you're not gonna be paying attention to me. You're gonna be thinking about something else. So maybe I'll try and keep this short. So maybe I can keep your attention. But that's what happens. Our brains just do this thing. We get distracted. And we are not in the moment. So what do we do about that? Well, first of all, we're going to talk about just a couple different things, right? We have a couple different kinds of distractions. We have internal distractions. There are things that, you know, like this guy here, he's sitting here, he's not looking at his computer, he's looking off to the side, and he's not where he is at that moment. He's supposed to be doing homework or study or doing work, you know, work from home, whatever it is he's doing there, he's not doing it. He's off someplace else. And his mind has wandered. And he's thinking about, you know, the beach or thinking about, you know, taking a swim or who knows. You know, he's not where he actually is. He's off someplace else. And that's just an internal thing, right? It comes from us. Again, that natural resting state. But, you know, there's also external distractions. You see this gentleman on the plane is trying to read a newspaper. Does anybody, how many kids even held a newspaper in here? It's kind of dating ourselves. But newspaper's kind of old, but he's reading, and there's this young lady behind him who is completely oblivious, and she's kicking the seat, and, you know, that's an external distraction. I can't focus on what's in front of me, you know, because someone else is interfering. And so we've got all these different kinds of distractions in our lives, and they can cause us, if we're not in the moment, to then, you know, that moment then can pass us by. We might miss opportunities, or we might make the wrong decision, or we might not have the information we need to make the right decision. And it leads us to sometimes fail. And we have to look back and be like, I was distracted. I wasn't paying attention. So there, I met several years ago, I went to a conference and I met this man. His name was Brian Willis. He was a police officer in Canada. He's retired now. But he was a trainer, much like myself, and he spent a lot of most of his career training people. And he would notice that there were people that had, you know, officers, they had the right skills, they had the right abilities, and they had everything they needed. They had the right tools available to them, but they would come to the wrong conclusion. And they wouldn't make a decision. Or they made the wrong decision. And he's like, when you come in and you test them, and they would have the right skills, and they would, in front of you, they would make the right decision when it came to legal justifications or actions that need to be taken. But then when they were put out on the road, you know, they'd come to a different conclusion. They would lose. And sometimes this was, you know, life-threatening, and they would get in fights, and they would get, you know, hurt. And so he started talking to people, and he would ask them, you know, hey, in the moment, what was going on? What were you thinking about? And oftentimes they would tell them they were thinking about something else, not where they were. They were thinking about, all right, what if I do this or I don't do this, my supervisor is going to be upset with me. This isn't going to look good on the news. I'm going to lose my job. They were thinking about things that were not in the moment. And then it would lead them to an incorrect decision. So he came up with this acronym, WIN. And there's a question, what's important now? Because if your life is online or someone else's life is online, there's something's going to happen. You have to make the right decisions, and you have to make the decisions now on what's important now. Because if you're thinking about things that are off in the future that you can't control, then you're not going to make the right decision now. You know, he calls it life's most important question. What's important now? Because right now, we all have a choice to make. We can listen, or we can engage, or we can walk out, or we can tune out. You know, we might be able to sit here and occupy a seat, but are we truly looking for the answers? Are we truly looking for, you know, the question, answers to the questions that we have in life? If we're just occupying a seat, going through the motions, you know, we're not focused on what's important now. And so we're going to go delve a little bit deeper in this, but, you know, I found this quote by Emily Dickinson. She was an American poet, and she wrote this little quote, you know, forever is composed of nows. You know, the things that we decide now are going to make us or break us. We all asked, you know, I asked that question in the beginning, who has a moment that they remember that changed their life? You know, the decisions we make today, the decisions we make now, are going to define us for the rest of our lives, possibly for the rest of eternity. So, because forever is composed of the nows. You know, I want to talk about Christ. Because Christ was always in the moment. Of course, he was perfect, but he was always in the moment. He was our example in what we should do, and how we should act, and how we should think. And so we have a stories that Jesus is recorded as doing. So if you look in Matthew in the 20th chapter, you look in Mark 10th chapter, you look in Luke in the 18th chapter, they all talk about this story about Jesus. There was a blind man. His name was Bartimaeus. And Jesus was traveling to Jericho. And he got outside the gates, and he was surrounded and pressed by this huge group of people. I don't know how many it was, but there was a lot of people there. And Bartimaeus hears this, and he can't see it because he's blind. But he hears something going on, and he asks, hey, what is going on? And someone tells him, so Jesus is coming. And so Bartimaeus can't see where he's at, and he doesn't know, so he just starts to call out. He cries out, you know, help me. Jesus, help me. And he calls him the son of David, you know, help me. Please help me. And the crowd, so, you know, here's this dusty, dirty, blind beggar who can't see, who no one really gives too much thought about except in passing, and they tell him, you know, hey, be quiet. And Jesus, he's an important guy. He doesn't have time for you. Be quiet. And he calls out even louder. And Christ hears this. And he tells the people that are chiding him to stop, and he calls Bartimaeus over and asks him, what do you want? He says, I want to be healed. And Jesus tells him, he's like, all right, you are healed. And he walks away. And actually, he starts following Christ. That's what it says. And he's cured of his blindness, you know. But how hard is that to be in the moment? You know, there's all these people pressing around you. There's all this activity taking place. And yet, here's this one small, blind beggar who cries out. But Jesus lives in the moment when he was here. He lived in the moment and he could pay attention to these things. What's important now? Here is this person who is calling my name. And they are worthy of my time because they're calling on me. So I'm going to answer them because he lived in the moment. The same is true in the Book of Mormon. I'm going to go into 3 Nephi in the 8th chapter. And Jesus has come to this land. And prior to this, to set this all up, you know, there was this great upheaval in the land. There was darkness, there were earthquakes, there were fires, and everything was changed. Many of their brothers and their kindred countrymen were killed. And they had darkness for 3 days. They couldn't even light a fire. They probably couldn't eat much. They probably couldn't sleep much. I'm sure it was a very scary experience. And then after all this, the darkness passes, you know, Christ appears. They hear this voice first, and they're listening. And then, you know, this is my beloved son. Hear ye him. And Jesus makes his appearance there. And then he speaks to them after this, great tumultuous event has taken place. They probably haven't had any food. They probably haven't had any sleep. Not much, anyway. And so he preaches the Sermon on the Mount. He preaches to them even more. And then it gets to the 8th chapter here, the first verse. Behold, now it came to pass that when Jesus had spoken these words, he looked round about again on the multitude, and he said to them, behold, my time is at hand. I perceive that ye are weak, and that ye cannot understand all my words, which I commanded of the Father to speak unto you at this time. But now I go unto the Father, and also to show myself unto the lost tribes of Israel, for they are not lost in the Father, for he knoweth whither he hath taken them. And so Christ can look around and say, you're tired, and you're hungry, I can see that. You're not able to listen to me anymore. You can't understand the words that I'm speaking. And I got a place I got to go. I got to go back to see my Father. And I got to go back to, I got things to do. And he could have left right then. Let's go down to verse 5. And it came to pass that when Jesus had thus spoken, he cast his eyes round about again on the multitude. And beheld, they were in tears, and did look steadfastly upon him, as if they would ask him to tarry a little longer with them. And he said to them, behold, my bowels are filled with compassion towards you. Have ye any sick that are among you? Bring them hither. And he brings all the sick, and then he brings the children, and they see this wonderful scene take place. Fire and angels come down out of heaven, and they're blessed. And even though he had to go back home to his Father, he put that on hold. Even though he had other places he had to go, he put it on hold. Because in the moment he could see there was a need. There was a people that were calling on him. I have need of you. And because he was in the moment, because he could look and see and perceive what was happening, he chose to stay. Because he lived in the moment, he could see what was happening. And again, going back to the Bible, Matthew 9 and Mark 5 and Luke 8 tells this story where Jesus is told of a child who's dying. One story, she's already dead, but in the others, she's in the process of dying. They come to him, hey, there's a child, she's dying. I need you to come. I need you to go. Lay your hands on her. She's sick. And so there's this crowd, once again, they're pressing in on him, they're surrounding him, they're pushing him, and there's this one woman. She thinks, if I can just touch his clothing, I'll be healed. I've spent all my money on doctors, they haven't been able to help me. I'm destitute, I've got nothing left, I've got no hope left, but if I can just touch as he walks by. So she's able to get through somehow this throng of people. She's able to reach out and she's able to touch a piece of his garment. And Jesus feels it. And he asks the question, someone touched me. Who was it? And his disciples are looking at him like, Lord, there's 100 people pushing you. What do you mean, who touched you? Everyone's touching you. And he calls out to the crowd, and she's nervous and scared. She says, it was me, Lord. And he stops. And he speaks with her. Because in the moment, she needed Christ. Even though there was some important matter taking place, someone's dying. Say, like, someone needs me. It would have been easy to just keep walking. It would have been easy to just go on. Hey, there's something else over here. It's more important, more deserving of my time. But he could see in that moment, she needed him. So he stopped, took his time, took a moment to address her concerns. And it doesn't stop there. You look in Luke in the 19th chapter. This is just after Bartimaeus is healed. Jesus enters Jericho, and once again, there's all these people surrounding him. They're filling the streets. And there's this little guy. His name is Zacchaeus. And he can't see. He wants to see, because this is, he's short in stature. So he climbs up a tree, just so he can look at Christ. He wants to see him. And because Christ was in the moment, he could see, there's someone who needs me. And he calls him down. He talks to him, and people begin to talk about this. They're like, this man is a sinner. He's a publican. He was a tax collector. He was hated. He cheated people. He took their money. And Christ calls him down. He says, you're going to take me to your home. You're going to feed me. And Zacchaeus makes the declaration, I'm going to give everything back that I've stolen fourfold, anyone that I've wronged. And Jesus said, you know, salvation has come to your home. Because even the moment he could see there's someone that needed him. Look in Luke 19, verse 10. His mission statement, for the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. You know, that was his job, the lost. Those that were looking, had lost their way, and yet they found Jesus and they cried out, they looked. It would have been so easy for him to just pass by and not pay attention. But he looked because he lived in the moment. He didn't let the moment pass by without doing what he was called here to do, to take care of those that called on his name. And that's when he was alive. He was busy constantly. You know, he hardly ever got a moment's rest. People were always coming to him, asking for healings, asking for food. He was always giving, and he was giving. Because all he had was a short amount of time. He only had a few moments on this earth. And so he gave and gave and gave and sacrificed right up until the end. If you look in Luke 23:39, and one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. So this one gentleman here is hanging on the cross next to Jesus. It's like, if you're actually the true God, you know, you can save us. It's possible. You should do it. Prove yourself to me. Prove it that you're God. Verse 40, but the other answering rebuked him, saying, do not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? It's like, you're at the end of your life, and still you have no fear of God. And we, indeed, justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. He's like, we deserve to be here. We've committed crimes. But this man is innocent. He turns to Christ. He was in pain, in agony, suffering. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Christ, understanding there was someone calling on him. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. You know, it would have been easy to just die. It would have been easy to just pass away, to be consumed in his pain, which I'm sure he was in a lot of. But he took that moment because someone was calling on him. Because someone decided this is the day. And to make a change. And this is our day. We have a short time. Alma 16, 228. For behold, this is the life. This life is the time for men to prepare to meet God. Yea, behold, the day of this life is the day for men to perform their labors. And now, as I said unto you before, as you have had so many witnesses, therefore I beseech of you that you do not procrastinate the day of your repentance until the end. For after this day of life, which is given us to prepare for eternity, behold, if we do not improve our time while in this life, then cometh the night of darkness, wherein there can be no labor performed. Now, so you have been given a day. You've been given today. We don't have tomorrow. Yesterday's gone. You've been given the day. What are you going to do with this day? What are you going to do with this decision? What are you going to do with this moment that you have? What choices are you going to make? Each day, each moment we're given is a gift. What are you going to do with it? How are you going to spend it? Where is your focus going to be? Now, it's easy. It's probably easy for those people there because Christ was literally right in front of them to make that choice. But there are distractions that take place. There are things that happen. Big distractions. If you look at Matthew in the 14th chapter, it tells the story of Jesus. He's walking on water. And he shoos them out into a boat. He goes and he deals with the crowds that are left behind because they're still demanding of his time. And he saw, again, there's this moment that I have. I need to spend it wisely. And then he goes to meet them and he's walking across the water. And there's this tempest and the water's choppy. And they're having to fight the boat and fight the weather to get where they want to go. And they see Jesus out there and they get scared. They think it's a spirit. And he calls out to him and says, "It's me. You have nothing to fear." So Peter says, "If it's you, Lord, call out to me and I'll come to you." So he does. And Peter's looking at Jesus. He steps out and he's looking at Jesus and everything's going fine. He's looking towards Christ and everything's fine. And then he shifts his focus. So everything that's going on around him. All these troubles. The waves are big. The wind is blowing. The men are fighting the boat. Keep it afloat. He takes in all these other things. In that moment, he looked away from Christ. And then he began to sink. And he cried out, and then God, Christ, reaches out and saves him and says, "Where was your faith? Where was it?" And began looking around and seeing all these troubles. We have distractions, huge distractions that take place. There's so many things to take from our time. There's so many things that are concerning. But where do you spend your moments? All those officers that made the wrong decision, they were looking at other distractions, looking at the wrong place. And things did not end up well because they weren't focused on what was important now. What do I need to look at right now in order to solve my problem? Look at Christ, and it doesn't matter what else is taking place. It doesn't matter how big the storms are. It doesn't matter what our president is doing. It doesn't matter what other countries are doing. Who's at war? We can't change any of that. It doesn't matter where the economy is going. Where are we looking? What is important now? The people that are in front of you, what's important now? The decisions you have in front of you, what's important now? Because if we get those little decisions right, then forever is going to be taken care of. You look in John in the 16th chapter, 32nd verse. Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And Christ is telling his disciples, there's a big distraction coming. You're going to scatter. You're going to leave me. You're going to leave me alone. And yet, I am not alone because the Father was with me. Because I've got my focus set on what's important. Verse 33, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So you focus on me. Follow my teachings. And the rest doesn't need to be focused on. You can't control it. But you focus on me, and the forever will be taken care of. Forever is what we are concerned about, but what's important is what's here now in front of us. The decisions that we make every day, decisions we make on how we treat one another, that's important. It's important now. We have opportunity every day, even if it's within our own family, to walk towards Christ, doing what he did. Because he overcame the world. Why would we be concerned about a world that crucified him? We shouldn't be. And so, I want you to remember, when you leave here, you need to go out and you need to win. Choose ye this day whom ye will serve. I thank you for your time.